Hey out there, and welcome to this bonus episode of the Sucks Podcast. It is part two of my interview with Chensida Ricci from LEGO about purpose-driven design and sustainability. In the second part of the conversation, we speak about Chensida and her way into UX. We do the friendship book, and we play her wonderful card game, Someone You. If you haven't heard part one of the interview, I can highly recommend to tune in and learn more about purpose-driven design and its relation to sustainability. I put you the link in the show notes, or you can just jump to the episode right before this one. And now, without any further delay, let's dive into this bonus episode. We start our interview usually with something we call the Sucks Friendship Book. That's what we do with all of our guests to ask some very basic questions to know a little bit more about you. And so I want to do that with you as well. And the first question actually would be, well, Chensida, do you have any nicknames?
I do. I have a nickname. People usually call me Jessie. And this was in Albania, we kind of choose our own nicknames when we're young. Like my nephew is called Mareldo, and his chosen nickname is Dido. So that has nothing to do with his name, but he chose it, so everybody calls him that. And I did the same. Chensida, Jesse is not really, intuitive, but I chose it. I thought it sounded good. And my family and friends always called me Jesse. So that's sort of the story of the nickname.
That's so cool that you choose your nicknames, because we don't do this here, I think. So it's more like other people come up with something for you here.
Yeah, it's sort of your first creative project or so, you could say.
Nice.
Choose your own persona or your own nickname.
Oh, I like that. So you said that you're from Albania. Meanwhile, mm-hmm. you live in Denmark. When did you move over to Denmark, or have there been other stations in your way of life where you've been?
Well, I've traveled a lot around, but I moved to Denmark. It's going to be 10 years ago next year. So almost rounding off a 10-year anniversary here. So wow. I, spent most of my career and work collaborations in Denmark. I did some study here as well. Mm-hmm. But, LEGO was definitely the workplace that I felt the most connected to in terms of purpose and values. So it's definitely one of the major reasons why I'm still here. And, after 10 years, you sort of build up a life and friendships and a sense of belonging to the sure. place.
Actually, speaking about your work, as a UX designer, how did you get into UX and design, actually?
Yeah, it wasn't really a thing, right? I think a lot of people who have been into UX design for quite some years will agree that it emerged out of the dot-com bubble. I think initially it was called, HCI, human computer interaction, as one of the first subjects that you could study. Then it evolved into, customer service, user experience, usability, engineering, and then user experience. And now it will keep evolving more and more. So the way I got in was because initially I did a bachelor's in computer science in mm-hmm. Albania, and usability wasn't really a thing. We were mm-hmm. strictly focusing on programming and coding. Then I studied management on top of that, and as part of my management degree, there was also this digital concept development mm-hmm. Year and a half that I did. And that's where I would say really got introduced to it. But, you know, I worked as a digital coordinator, webmaster, web coordinator. So what I'm doing right now, I've actually done it 10, 12 years ago as well, but not in such a refined state as we know it today. So I am really glad that it evolved in this direction, because it's, you know, becoming more and more human-centered. And that's always what I looked for. You know, computer science didn't feel exactly right for me, but then studying further, working with people, getting more and more information around design, ethical design, human-centered design, I felt I was getting closer and closer to what I was really passionate about.
And I can highly relate. It was so similar for me, as exactly as you said. It's like getting more and more into this. It happened actually on my first day when I joined an agency many, many years ago here in Hamburg. They asked me, hey, do you want to be, and the term here was not UX designer, but like more of information architect, maybe something like this. Do you want to do this? Because we want to have people. And that's how I got into this. Though I studied like digital media back in university, but then over the years, it all made sense somehow. So really nice to hear that it was similar to you. And as I said, yeah, I think it's for many people the same way. Getting back to the friendship book, what's a perfect day for you, or how does a perfect day for you actually begin?
Yeah, so I'm a very slow person in the morning. I like to, you know, have a slow paced morning with meditation, with some yoga. I do a lot of yoga. And, you know, with the nourishing breakfast, maybe going for a walk. So right now I do live in a sort of remote place where I can do that, and I'm very nice. Happy about that. So yeah, that would be it.
Sounds fantastic, and I wish I would be able to well, let's say to have a routine every day to do all these things every day.
Yeah, and you know, it sounds very ideal. I'm not able to do that every single day, but whenever I'm able to do it, I really prioritize it, because I think we have a saying in Albania that you can judge the day by the morning sun. So if you know, if it's a really good morning sun, you know it's going to be a good day.
Well, really well said. Speaking about Albania and speaking about your childhood, actually, what was your dream job when you were a child? Did it already get into the direction of what you do today, or was it something totally different? Or
I remember when I was a child, I was watching a lot of cartoon Disney movies and cartoons, and I remember dreaming about being one of the characters, or rather the voice of one of the characters, and I didn't really know how that would manifest into a job or anything like that. But I think I really liked to, and I think again with Lego and the playfulness, I see a lot of connection there, and with the Lego characters. But yeah, I did think about, you know, animations and being these, you know, cartoon characters, being the voice of one of those. And I think I still think about that sometimes, like voice acting and that type of work. In my free time, I do music, so it's not so far off that. But yeah, I think that could be really awesome. still, I still think that could be really awesome as a job to have.
Definitely. So super creative, and yeah, I think so too. Well, people like us, we sit a lot in front of a computer, right? Do much of the stuff we do there, but what's your favorite place away from the computer?
My favorite place away from the computer would be in my garden. That's I really enjoy, of course, especially when it's good weather like today. Just sitting with a book in my garden, and actually sometimes also just sitting and getting bored is one of my free time interests, because I feel like I have otherwise so much exciting, you know, content and people and happenings around. So I feel like in my free time, I really want to just calm down. And my second favorite place is where I'm sitting right now. It's my home creative studio. This is the place where I just can come and create whatever wants to be created.
Sounds good. So to our listeners, I can see Chinsila's studio now, and it looks fantastic and super professional. Really mean that. It's really cool. But also nice to hear that you have. How big is your garden? Is it a bigger garden or a small one or?
Yeah, it's relatively big. It has plants and trees, and I'm not an avid gardener. I must say that gardening is pretty new to me, but I do enjoy sitting and just being in the middle of the greenery.
Yeah, honestly, I can so much relate to that. So unfortunately, well, I live in the big city here in Herberg. I don't have a garden here. So I love taking my bike, going out of the city, and then also just go somewhere in the middle of nowhere, just sit there for an hour, for 2 hours, do nothing. And yeah, I so much feel you on that.
Fully on recharge. That, just doing
it. Yeah, exactly. Speaking about your favorites, what's your favorite book at the moment, or maybe all time?
At the moment, I'm reading a book from Brené Brown called The Atlas of the Heart. You know, with my role as a people leader, I work with people. And I think a big part of working with people is increasing your emotional intelligence around, you know, how are people feeling, what's preventing them. Usually it's some kind of emotional state, whether people feel motivated or unmotivated. So I'm really glad to be reading this book, The Atlas of the Heart from Brené Brown, because she really breaks down all the emotions and feelings and needs, and, you know, has created after a lot of research, a definition for each of these. So to get clear, you know, if there's something bothering you, or if it's something you feel specifically excited about, you're able to name that emotion and distinguish the emotions from each other, because some of them are also quite similar.
Sounds really good. I just wrote that down, so we'll put that in the show notes as well, because I think that could be interesting for many of our listeners as well. Oh, thank you.
I think I really like to find inspiration in books that are non-UX related.
Yeah.
Of course, there's a lot of UX literature that's super interesting, but I think I really find inspiration also outside of UX literature.
And that's super important, right? To leave our bubble as often as we can.
Absolutely.
All kinds. So what's your favorite, maybe all-time favorite movie?
That is Interstellar. I'm really into really into movies about space and dimensions. You know, like, yeah, also movies like Ex Machina, for instance, is also another favorite. So anything that's sort of futuristic and has to do with space and dimensions. And Interstellar is it's just an amazing acting from Matthew McConaughey, and
soundtrack is also fantastic, isn't it? Man,
soundtrack is fantastic. There's so much, and this is probably the movie I have rewatched most times. I can watch it again and again. So
me too.
I highly recommend it if people haven't, for some reason, come into contact with this movie.
Yeah, well, and it also relates to what we are talking here about purpose, right? And giving up so many things to fulfill another, maybe greater purpose, right? Which is super nice and also super tragic from some point of view.
Yeah, we could definitely go into a deep analysis of the movie and the connection to purpose. maybe we do a second episode around that specifically. That could be fun.
Yeah, that would be a great idea, actually, to do a podcast episode and discuss about Interstellar purpose and all. Oh, yeah. So we want to talk about sustainability here today as well. And one basis of our work at the Sustainable UX Network are the Sustainable Development Goals of the UN. And so of these 70 goals, what are maybe the ones that bring out the strongest passion in you, that are most important to you, maybe personally?
Yeah, you know, I have huge respect for boiling down all the world's needs for sustainability into these 17 goals, because that means we are that one step closer to making it into a reality. And if I have to select a few out of those 17 really important goals, I would select three of them. One is the one about good health and well-being. I just feel like once we have that, we are able as people to do quite a lot and work towards our good. So once we are in good health, and that includes mental health, physical health, emotional health, if a person is well, I think people do well as well on the outer world. So I think it all starts with a person's well-being, and it can expand from there. And then two very important causes for me are quality education and gender equality. Quality education is because I grew up, you know, seeing and witnessing that I was very lucky to be born into a family that really invested in my education for it to be of quality. But I had a lot of, you know, acquaintances and friends who did not have the same opportunities. And so it definitely, you know, going into more philanthropical causes, I would, if I had the chance, and now I am working in some projects, it would be around quality education. And then gender equality, again, I did grow up in a country where that wasn't always a given, and we still have globally a lot of work around the quality, around you know, male and female pay. That's just one of the causes, but there's just so much around body imagery, around political rights for both genders. I just simply still can't understand why there is a gender inequality. It is so absurd to me. There's of course a long history for that, but it's so absurd that we're still at the gender level equal. And I'm not talking at all about roles in the household or, you know, female and male roles in general. That's a totally different topic, but this is around opportunities and perception of equality, of worth.
I so much agree. And actually we had just some weeks ago, we had Mansi Gupta in the podcast.
Mm-hmm.
And so she's working on gender equality, and she's focusing on what she calls woman-centric design. And it's really interesting. Well, I knew her. I saw talks of her and we spoke a lot. And it's still, for me, it's so interesting to see that even in our, how to say that, let's say, Western developed countries, we still have so many inequalities, and that we need to watch out not to bake that into the digital products, for example, that we build, right? And that we watch out for doing things different than we did for so many years. And that's, yeah, so mm-hmm. so much work there to do. And not only on the other side of the world, but here in our parts as well, right? Yeah,
absolutely. Yeah.
Speaking about the sustainable development goals, is there one goal where you say that definitely needs more attention in general?
Yeah, I think there is the goal around decent work and economic growth. And that's because I still, you know, I believe I work in probably one of the best workplaces in the world. And so I am living in a little bubble in those terms,
mm-hmm.
but I've worked in other places before. I've experienced a lot of workplaces that are not human-centered, but that are profit-centered.
Mm-hmm.
And I just simply think that has to stop. It's not sustainable for the business. It's not sustainable for the humans and people who work there. And it's not sustainable for the economic growth, because let's say that you have a company that just grows and grows and grows and makes a lot of profit. If the curve's just going up and up and up, something is out of balance. You know, normally there needs to be a growth to a certain point and then a stagnation, and like a sustainable stagnation. And I believe in terms of economic growth, I really follow the work of the donut economy concept. Mm-hmm. So circular economy, basically.
Yeah.
And so I think, you know, GDP and, you know, that type of economic growth is not so meaningful anymore, because what's the purpose of just growing and growing and growing if you don't also grow horizontally and expand your contributions?
Yeah, well, so, our planet is not growing with us, right? So it's you could say it's insane if you build on ongoing growth but live in an environment that is not growing.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Our planet is circular. You know, it's kind
exactly.
of getting born and dying. It's a cycle. So Yeah, I think that businesses need to go through that cycle as well and respect, you know, ethical work conditions, well-being for employees. These are all causes that I really believe in. And through my workplace, I'm lucky to be able to be in employee advocacy groups, contribute, volunteer. So I'll keep doing that, because again, these goals are something I feel really passionate about.
Mm-hmm.
And I think if we all just contribute just a little bit, as much as we can, the power of sort of collectiveness will have a yeah will have an impact.
Yeah, and I think you said something very interesting because you used the term balance, right? And I think we use the term balance, or we need to use it so much more actually, right? Because instead of growing all the time, sometimes balance is maybe the better state we can, as you said, we can reach. And this is a general problem we have maybe in our whole system. And I'm not saying let's drastically change the whole system, but there might be some adjustments that also value, for example, I think the problem is today a company that not grows is a bad thing, right? And why is that? Because from a logical point of view, that's just insane. Because if you have a balanced company, that's a good thing. People have work, right? Stuff is produced, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I think we need so much more of these discussions, right? And
yeah, absolutely. Balance is a very positive and unknown aspect of you know, decent work and economic growth. So definitely, let's talk more about that.
So speaking about sustainability, do you have any guilty pleasure? And what I mean with that is, so my guilty pleasure is, for example, I use all my digital devices too much. I do too much streaming. Spend too much time on my iPhone, which is not sustainable for myself, but also not sustainable in terms of the energy I'm consuming. Do you have any guilty pleasures there?
I do. I have tried to work on my devices unsustainable behavior quite a lot. So I would say I've brought that down as a guilty pleasure. But I am a person who snacks quite a lot. Snacking is my guilty pleasure. Every time it's, you know, I have friends over or just watching a movie or even reading a book. Sometimes there's this idea of just, you know, having a little something. And as far as I know, also the production of the different snacks is not super sustainable. But I've tried to mitigate that by making my own snacks and, you know, making healthier snacks. And also kind of researching a bit this tendency to feel comfort when snacking. I think a lot of people have that. And also try to, you know, think, okay, what are some other things that give me comfort? And could I spend more time with that? Taking care of the garden, for instance, which is work and comfort. So,
speaking about sustainability, do you have like a personal sustainability hero or a role model or somebody that comes into your mind there?
I do. And this is going to be maybe a bit, you know, unexpected, or a lot of people will say, you know, Greta Thunberg or some personalities who are, you know, quite innocent and also powerful in their messages. But I will choose my cat as my sustainability role model, because I recently got my cat in January. So it's also been sort of a learning process. And I thought that I was a dog person until I got my cat, Hazel. And I just noticed so many behaviors that I think are so intelligent about cats. And I think we could learn so much around that. Like, for instance, the way that she portions her food. So even if I happen to give her a lot of food, she won't eat the whole thing, but she will portion it and she will divide it sort of in a few days. And I think, yes, talking of snacking, for instance, as a unconscious eating behavior, I feel like, again, the world would be so much more sustainable if we all just ate what our body needs and no more than that. and stopped overproducing and overconsuming.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's sort of one of the behaviors. And like cats are, of course, these self-cleansing creatures. So it's also super sustainable to not use so much water. And I'm not advocating for non-showering or anything like that, but reducing, you know, consumption of water, because that is definitely the most pressing issue in the planet. That's probably where we should start all together.
You're so right, and what we said before, right, to start talking about this, to make people aware and to make more people think about what they do, how much they do, how much they use, do I really need that, etc., right? That's it's small things, but we definitely can do a lot there if we get more and more people acting more and more like this. I think so too. Cool. I really like that example. I've never looked at this from this point of view, but that's great. Pretty cool. Cool. Yeah, well, thank you very much. That was the Sucks Friendship book. It took some longer than expected, but I think we already dove into some really nice topics here. So happy we took the time. And well, usually at this point we are done with the friendship book, but today we are going to extend it a little bit more, I would say, because you created this wonderful card game called Someone You. And so the idea is to connect in a playful way with new people. And maybe to start here, can you tell us a little bit about this? How does it work? What is it?
Yeah, Someone New was my my Corona creative child and my Corona project. I think everybody had one. This came as an inspiration of observing society become more and more closed, people experiencing more and more loneliness, and, you know, the years also leading to the COVID years. I was starting to feel this other pandemic, or like this pre-pandemic, which was people isolating, people living alone in places. I think it's even more common in the Western world than anywhere else, really, where people are more, you know, in other countries, people live closer to their families and sometimes with their families. But in the Western world, there's a lot of loneliness as sort of a side pandemic. So I went into the topic with curiosity, and I read some studies that have shown how belonging to, you know, with people around you affects our emotional, our physical well-being. And this sense of being together, togetherness, is a basic human need. And if you imagine the pyramid of needs from Maslow, normally you'd say you have these, at the very bottom, you have these basic needs as food and water and shelter. And then you have security as like a, you know, psychological, physical security. And then at the third level, you have love and belonging. Mm-hmm. But the recent studies has shown that love and belonging actually belongs to the very first level, right next to food and water and shelter. Mm-hmm. So it's so deeply ingrained in us that I just simply thought, how could I approach this design problem, or turn it into a design problem and approach it in a playful way? And so, you know, there is this holistic life science where they talk. I studied yoga a lot in that period of time as well. So a lot of the mechanics of the game came from that theory of connecting through different levels. And so in the game, there are these seven dimensions of connection. They're mm-hmm. all color-coded, of course. Implementing these in the game also created a sort of a system for the game, which each color and each dimension represent a level of connection. And so, yeah, that's somewhat new. It's a card game, and I hoped for it to be a movement for belonging with, especially with new people, but also with people that you know, in a new and playful way.
I have the game here, and it's I went through most of the questions, there are so fantastic questions there, and that's why we have to at least play some of them here to give our listeners a short sneak peek. And I'm so happy that we can do this. And you prepared a few questions, so we can do maybe a little back and forth, one from you, one from me. How does that sound?
Sounds good.
Cool.
Sounds really good. Let's do it.
Shall I start, or do you want to start mm-hmm. with the first question?
Yeah.
Okay.
Go ahead.
So the first question from the first level. What other name than my own would fit me?
To be honest, when we first met, I did think your name was Jonas, because in Denmark it's a very common name.
It's even here in Germany.
Okay, it is even in Germany. Before we talked, I thought you were called Jonas, but then when you introduced yourself and you said, "Hi, I'm Torsten," it just dawned on me that I had your name wrong. But maybe it could be a name that would actually fit you a lot. So I guess you can use them interchangeably.
Hey, and it happens, honestly, all the time, even to people who know me pretty well and for a long time. So when they write emails, it happens that they switch it, right? It's because they know Jonas, etc. So it's happened. I'm used to it happening at least, I would say, at least once or twice a month that someone calls me Jonas.
Yeah, okay. It's not a bad name. It's a name that would fit you.
Yeah, yeah.
Or
hey,
fits
there,
you.
There is the Jonas Brothers in the US. I always thought of maybe I'm one of the lost brothers maybe of them, and I could participate in their whatever.
Oh, that would be cool. That would be really cool. We found the lost Jonas brother.
Yes.
In Germany.
Let's move on with the second question. It's your turn.
Yeah.
Now.
So the second question is from the second level. So we're taking one question per level, and the second level is the creative. So here's where we do need to get a little bit more creative. And the question is, make up a new word for the feeling you're having right now.
So shall I do that, or should you do as well? Okay. I was thinking about that. And so one thing came into my mind, which is not a feeling I have right now, but a feeling mm-hmm. that I have from time to time. And I found that came into my mind the first time. And it was the mixture of anxious or anxiety and excited. So I'm anxiety. And that's something I know sometimes.
I love that.
So for example, when I love to go to the mountains, right, and do mountaineering and do things like that. And there's sometimes a mixture of these two happens, and it's a very special feeling, and but also in daily life situations. So yeah, that would be my answer to this.
What was it? An anxiety?
Yeah, anxiety. Anxious or anxiety and excited, a mixture of these
these
two things.
I love that, because it gives such a positive lens to feeling anxious as well. So it is that, you know, your body sort of preparing you for experiencing something that could be excited. So I'll call Brené Brown and let her know we have a new feeling for her to write about in the Atlas of the Heart book.
That would be so cool. Yeah.
Yeah. Jonas invented a new feeling.
Yeah. Okay. So, but now I have a question. The question for you, and about you. Did you? So that's from the third level, right?
Mm-hmm.
And did you ever realize you misheard the lyrics of a song? Tell me your version.
Oh yes. Oh my God. There are so many misheard lyrics from my side. But the one that comes to mind right now is the, you know, I think it's called Blue. Blue, abba, da 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 da. So I thought that it was, I'm blue, I'm a beat up a guy. I'm blue, I'm a beat up a guy.
I love that.
And I think the actual lyrics are, I'm blue, da ba dee da ba da, or something like that. But yeah, I always wondered why are they beating up a guy just because they are feeling blue. That's a very violent approach to experiencing a feeling.
Oh, I really love that.
Let's jump to the next level.
Yes.
So this is the fourth level, and it's the emotional level. And the question is, the last time you said a full yes to something was when?
Actually, I think maybe last weekend. I have been to the Alps, close to the Bodensee, and I did a talk and a workshop at the university there. And since I was so close to the so beloved Alps and mountains, right? Mm-hmm. I was thinking of, at least I wanted to do a 1 or 2 day hike there. And the weather forecast was, well, let's say not so well, much rain, no thunderstorms, so no danger, but much rain and not so well and so, but, and I was thinking of, should I do that in the rain? I don't know. But then I was, no, I definitely want to do that, no matter how the weather is.
And, yes.
So yeah, though the weather forecast was bad, I did this 2 day hike, and it was just beautiful, because though on the second day when I was up on the mountain, there was like rain and fog, so almost no sight, but that's such a special these are such special conditions, and it's so, I love being up in the mountains when you have a lot of fog, right? Because it's, you are so much by yourself in that moment. There are no other people on the mountains. And so, mm-hmm. that would be definitely my answer on this.
Awesome.
Sounds okay. Awesome. So next level, the fifth level. Take me through your typical day in 2 minutes or maybe 1 minute.
Mm-hmm.
X great. Yeah, maybe everything or everything important that happens in a typical day.
Yeah, and I have to exaggerate everything that happens. Okay, so 1 minute timer. I wake up and I have a icy shower. I cover myself in ice, or I go into like an ice bath. And right afterwards, I run to work, and I finish all of my work tasks in sort of like in a breath. And then I am super bored for 5 hours. So I socialize a lot at work to combat the boredom. And then I do some after work activities like yoga, and then I stretch like a sea star from all directions, and then I go home and I cook for 20 people, realizing that I might have wasted a lot of food, but then I freeze most of it, and then I I read 5 books on the same day, and then I go to bed and fall into a really deep sleep.
Sounds really good. Nice.
Of course, I exaggerated everything, but yeah, that was my 1 minute day.
Wonderful. Okay. So what's the next question we have?
Next question is from the 6th, almost last level, visionary level. Time travel 10 years in time and describe me.
I'm going to describe you, right?
Yes.
So
in 10 years.
In 10 years, I would see you, I think, still working at or with Lego. And I would see you maybe traveling around the world using Lego and things you develop with Lego to bring education, especially to third world countries and developing countries, using Lego and the ideas to bring more and better education to these countries who need it. That's something I definitely see in you in 10 years.
Wow. That sounds like a dream job. So
so we will meet in 10 years again for the podcast and see.
Yeah. I think we should note that down and make it happen.
Cool. Okay. So last question.
Mm-hmm.
Last level. What do you think my life calling is?
Your life calling is to bring more awareness to the community around you. I think you're a very, very much a community-based person. You can have a lot of impact in a community. And, you know, with the topic of sustainability in UX, I think you have a pretty good starting point in living out that life calling. So I can only see that growing and growing. Whatever channels, you know, podcasts or talks that you already do. But yeah, again, it could develop even more. And maybe it won't be the same topic always, but I think it's definitely to do community-based work and have impact in a community.
Yeah, I just can say yes. You're right.
Spot on. It seems like I found your purpose, or you have found your purpose.
Yeah. I think so too, definitely. Wow. Cool. Hey, thank you very much. That I think that's the longest Sucks Friendship book we ever did on the podcast. But thank you so much. There was every minute was worth it. Definitely.
I agree.
This was the bonus part of my conversation with Chancila. If you haven't heard the main part of the interview, I can highly recommend to tune in. We speak about purpose-driven design, what it has to do with sustainability, and how to integrate it in your work. I put the link in the show notes, or you can just jump to the episode right before this one. And that's it for now. Thank you, wonderful people out there, for listening to our latest episode. And if you liked what you heard, please give us a subscription and a rating. We would highly appreciate it. Bye-bye, and see you next time on the Sucks Podcast.